Okay, today we're learning Daf Lamed Bet. We're starting the fourth perek of Nida. Binot Kutim, we're going to learn a lot about, just as an intro, Zava, the difference in Zava, Nida, some other things. We're going to start off with Kutim. So maybe a little background. Who are the Kutim? The Kutim are what we call Shomronim. They're the people who, when Shalmaneser came and took the king of Ashur, and he took the Jews out of Shomron, the Malchut Yisrael. This was before the Galut Malchut Yehuda. He took them out of Israel, and he put in people from Kuta and other places, and that's why they're called the Kutim, and they lived in Shomron. And then all of a sudden, they started, these lions came and were attacking them, and the king said, oh, it must be because you're not keeping the laws of the land, and he brought, I think it was a Kohen, to teach them the laws of the land, and they became Jews. But there's always a debate about them. Are they what we call Gerei Emet, true converts? Did they kind of come out of, you know, fear, but became true converts? Or are they called Gerei Arayot, which means they were forced into it, and that's not a legit conversion, which means we don't view them as Jews at all. So there's two approaches. We view them as Jews. However, either which way we look at them, you have to remember, it's different than a convert who comes and becomes part of a community. But right, nowadays, it's very important. If you convert, you have to be part of a regular mainstream Jewish community. These people converted and were part of their own community and didn't live within a Jewish community and therefore ended up with a lot of what they don't have is the tradition and the differences of Torah Shebaal Peh. So because of that, there's all sorts of issues where we don't have trust in them for various reasons. And so that's one issue with them. And, you know, it was known that they had a lot of places where they differed from our tradition. So there's a debate about whether the sugya is viewing them, whether the Mishnah views these kutim as gerei emet or gerei arayot. Okay, so the Gemara is going to basically, Rav Sheshet, we're going to see, approaches this as if they're real converts, just they don't do things exactly the way we do. A possible explanation that isn't mentioned here is that maybe really they were gerei arayot, according to the Mishnah, and the reason why we're going to treat them differently, okay, the issue here, that we're going to assume their need, okay, I'll read the first four words and then I'll explain. Benot kutim nidot me'arisatan. They're considered nida as soon as they're born. Okay, that there's an assumption that they could have bled right away, in which case they're going to all be considered nidot. Now, if they're not Jewish, why would they be considered nidot at all? There's no dine nida by non-Jewish women. But in fact, if you remember in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Zayin, I don't know if you remember this, but we learned that that non-Jewish women are treated as nidot, and this was to kind of prevent women, men from intermarrying. So, but there's one difference, which is they're forbidden from the age of 3 and a day, which is generally the age we say that girls are ra'oy libia, they could potentially have sexual relations, hard to imagine at age 3, but that's the halachic age. So non-Jewish women are considered nidot already from age 3, or just from age 3, and then Benot Kutim, it says nidot me'arisatan. So if you view it that way, then you have to explain why. Why are we more machmir on the Benot Kutim? That's because they're more similar to us, and there's more of a concern that we would intermarry since they keep a lot of the mitzvot, and therefore the rabbis were more machmir and were gozer on them, rather more so than on the non-Jewish women. Okay. But we're going to kind of say that the sugya really goes by saying that they're gerei emet, they're real legit Jews, just we'll see what the issue is when we get to the Gemara. So they're considered nidot as soon as they're born. Vakutim mitam'im mishkav tachton ke'elyon mipnei shehem bo'alei nidot. Another thing about kutim, we're going to assume, okay, let's start from the end, they're bo'alei nidot. We're assuming that they sleep with their wives when they're nidot. Why? Well, even if we say they're gerei emet, and they keep hilchot nida, they keep it a little different than us. V'hein yoshvot al kol dam v'dam. They assume any blood they see, even if it's not a problematic color. Remember all those color charts we talked about? And the green, which is really yellow, right? The yarok, which is considered yellow. They view that as problematic blood. So let's say they see yellow blood, so to speak. Whatever exactly that means. A yellow discharge. So they're going to say that's nida. They're going to start counting their nida days. And let's say on day number 4, they actually have red blood. Well, then, really, day number 4 is their first day. But they're going to go to the mikveh already on day number 7 from day number 1 and not from day number 4. So they're going to be totally off. And, you know, especially with nida, zava, everything's going to be off. And in the end, they basically end up sleeping with their wives when they're in nida. Now, someone who sleeps with his wife when she's in nida takes on the tumah of the nida, basically. He becomes tameh, also an avat tumah. And then we say, so any kuti is presumed that he slept with his wife when she's in nida, which presumes he's tameh. And then, what kind of tumah does he have? Well, he's mitameh mishkav tachton kelyon, which I'll explain very briefly, but the Gemara is going to get into what exactly this means. Tachton, right, if we remember, we learned about mishkav and moshav and midras, which is something someone steps on, azav, azava, yoled, edanida. They step on something, if they sit on something, if they lie on something, all of those things become tameh, okay, even if they're not actually touching it. So the tachton, anything underneath him, is going to be tameh like the elyon. It's going to have the same status of tumah as something he carries. Okay, remember tumah masa? So if he's an avatuma, something he carries becomes a rishon. That can only be mitameh sheni, which means it can only be tameh food and drink and not kalim. So if he carries something, like a kli on a tray, so there's a kli on that tray, he's not touching it, but that's why it's called masa, because he's carrying it, he's moving it. That will only be a rishon to be mitame asheni. Likewise, what he sits on will only be a rishon, which can only be mitame asheni. Now, if you're a zav or a zav and a nida, yoledet, all those, and you sit on something, it actually becomes an avatum and not a rishon. So what we're saying is these kutim, who are boalei nidot, their status, the way they're mitame mishkav and moshav, is different from the way the actual need is mitame mishkav and moshav, because it's at one level removed of tumah. It's going to be more like the tumah masa, the elyon, and not like the nida who would make, and that's what would happen, again, if she turns a nida, sits on something, that beged will be an av, which means if somebody takes that beged, they're going to become a rishon. Okay, whereas if it's a rishon, it can't be mitame people or kelim. Okay, so there's a big difference. Ve'ein chayavin alehem al biyat mikdash, ve'ein sorfin alehem et hatrumah, mipnei shetumatan safek. This whole tumah is safek, and therefore, if you're... Okay, so now the question is, what exactly are... And so Rashi says we're referring to the beged. Okay, so if that beged came in contact with truma, or you wore that beged and you went into the mikdash, so you're patra from korban. Okay, this is a little weird if you say it's the beged, because we just said the beged's right, not an av, so it shouldn't be metame a person. Or you can explain this as if any kind of, you know, let's say they pasul truma, okay, this kuti. So you don't burn the truma because of it, because it's only misafek, okay? Or they were metame something that then went into the mikdash, okay? Any kind of issue relating to this is all tumat safek, and you don't have to worry about it. Gemara starts off with the benot kutim now, nido me'ari satan. Hey chidami, what's the case? Ida chachazian, if they saw blood, afilu didanami. Well, then they should be just like a Jewish girl that sees blood. Okay, remember we talked about this a long time ago. This is definitely possible. It happens that some girls at birth have menstrual bleeding. So if a Jewish girl sees blood, then she's also going to be an Ida. So if b'no kutim nidome ari satan means if they saw blood, well then that's no different from us. Why did the Mishnah say specifically kutim? Ida lo kachazyan, well if they didn't see blood, didu nami lo, well then they shouldn't be nidot either. If they didn't see blood, why are we calling them nidot? So amar rabba bereta rab acha rav huna, amar rav sheshet, hacha b'mayaskin, this is the rav sheshet I mentioned, who's going to basically treat them as gerei emet, hacha b'mayaskin am bistama. We're going to assume that this is a case where we don't know if they saw blood or didn't see blood. Dekevan de'ika mi'uta de'chazyan cheshinan. Since there's a minority of girls who do see blood, we're going to say we're concerned that maybe they saw blood, and we have to be right. We have to worry about it. So now the Gemara says, Uman tana dechayish lemiuta. This goes back to something we've seen many times, which is, do we worry about minority of cases, or do we just say, no, we follow the rov? So generally, we say we follow the rov. But Rabbi Meir is known to say we follow the mi'ut. And here he's going to bring up a case with Yibum and Chalitza. Okay, so what's Yibum and Chalitza? Again, a man is married to a woman. He dies without children. Generally, it's an isur arayot for the brother to marry someone his brother was married to, even if the brother's no longer alive. However, in this case, since he didn't have children, there's a mitzvah l'kayem et shem ha-meit. He's supposed to marry, the brother's supposed to marry the wife of his brother who died. And if he doesn't want to do that, that's called yibum. If he doesn't want to do it, he can do chalitza, which he can opt out. And then there's a whole tekas they do with the shoe, and she spits in the shoe. And, you know, they say, arura, you know, the cursed is the man who doesn't want to be mekim et shem ha-meit, a bit of an embarrassing tekes, or humiliating a little. Anyway, they do that, and with that, she can now marry anyone else. Until they do that, she's not free to marry anybody else. So what if he or she is not of age yet? The brother's a young person, or she is a ketana. So here we see Rabbi Meir's opinion. D'tanya katan uktana lo chotzim ve lo miyabim, divrei Rabbi Meir. They can't do chalitza and they can't do yibum. Amrula l'Rabbi Meir, yafeh amar kashen chotzim. I understand why you said no chalitza, because ish katu b'parsha umakshinan isha le'ish. It says in chalitza, v'im lo yachpotza ish lakachat et yivimto, if the man, now here it says man, there you see it has to be man, and it says the yivimto, that's her, appears right next to the man in the pasuk, right next to, but a few words later. So they say, just like it has to be an ish, it also has to be an isha. So I get why they can't do chalitza, because that's the pasuk about chalitza. Umatam em yabmim, but when it comes to yibum, it doesn't say ish anywhere. So why do you say em yabmim? Amar lahem, so he says to them, kacha, katan shema yimatzei saris, ktana shema timatzei alonit, v'nimtzu pogim be'erva shelo b'makom mitzvah. As I said, it's Yisurayo for him to sleep with the sister, with the wife of his brother. But in a makom mitzvah, we allow it if there's yibum, because he can be making shema mei. But what does it mean, lakim shema mei? It means to have offspring. If she or he is incapable of having offspring, well then, you're not allowed to do it. At this point, we have no idea of knowing because they're underage and they haven't gotten to a stage where they could theoretically have children. So it could be he might be a saris, she might be an ailoni, which is someone who can't have children. And therefore, they don't allow it according to Rabbi Meir because we're choshesh for the minority of cases where one of them can't conceive. So or she can't conceive or he can't, right? He's not fertile. So Rabbanan, what do we say about Rabbanan? What would they say against this? Zil bataruba diktanim. We follow the majority. Verov tanim lav srisim ninhu. Zil bataruba diktanot. Verov tanot lav ailoniot ninhu. The majority of people aren't into this situation. Therefore, we can allow them to do the yibum because we can just follow laws of majority. Right? The reality doesn't matter. It's the halachic law which follows majority, and therefore it's okay. So now, why did we bring this up? Because we wanted to say why the logic of Rabbi Meir wouldn't apply here. Imer d'shamalei l'Rabbi Meir mi'uta d'shachiach. The fact that women could be aloniot or men could be sarisim is a common minority. It's a minority, but it's common. Aval mi'uta d'lo shachiach mi'shamalei, but a baby having a period, that's really, really not common. So even if you say Rabbi Meir is choshesh l'miuta, we're now going to say, right, there's a matter, I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say, if there's a 10% chance, then we'll call that a miuta shachiach. If there's a 2% chance, we're going to say that's not a miuta shachiach. We're certainly not going to be concerned for a case like that. So wouldn't you think that this nidot mari satan, that they menstruate when they're born, that's not very common? So what is the Gemara answer? Oh, no. Ha nami. Right, and then the whole assumption is our Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, it's clearly not according to Chachamim, because Chachamim are not going to be concerned in a Stam case where we don't know whether she saw blood or not when she was born. We're not going to be concerned and say, oh, we have to worry that maybe she's a Nida. So what is the Gemara answer? Right? Obviously, they didn't really know the reality of this. Is this common or not? So the answer is, ha nami miuta d'shachiyahu. This actually is fairly common. Okay, d'tanya, how do we know this? Again, not quoting from medical research. They're quoting from Braita. So, d'tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, ma'ase be'ein bul, v'hitbilua kodim li'ima, there was a case in Ein Bul, in the other place, and they toveled the girl before her mother, meaning she came out of the womb, menstruating, or with some blood there, and I don't know if you would actually call it menstruating, but there was some blood. She then, her need is finished after, at the end of 7 days, but the mother can only go to the mikveh after 14 days because she gave birth to a female. So what do you see here? They toveled the girl before the mother, because the girl was toveled on day number 7 and the mother only on day number 14. So what do you see? It happened once. Okay, once doesn't necessarily prove anything, but we're going to see two other cases where this happened. Va'amar Rebbe, ma'ase be'beit sha'arim, v'itbilua kodim li'ima, same thing happened in Beit Sha'arim. Va'amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, ma'ase be'pumpedita, also in Babel this happened, v'itbilua kodim li'ima. So we now have three cases that already turns it into, okay, this must have been common if we see in three different places this happened. Bishlama, so now they're going to go back to these three cases. We understand Rabbi Yossi Uderebi. We understand why they toveled this little infant in the case of Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. What's the difference between them and Rabbi Yosef? Location. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. What's the relevance? Well, if we're talking about Truma, there's a difference between Truma in Eretz Yisrael and Truma in Chutz La'aretz. So what do we say? Mishum Trumat Eretz Yisrael. There, because the issue was they didn't want her apostling Truma of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, what's the issue of the tinoket apostling the Truma? So there's different explanations. Some people say they were worried. Rashi says, we're worried that she's going to touch the Truma. Okay, Rashi says, Demifsa Labanagia, that this baby is going to come in contact with Truma. Other refreshim say, what's the baby going to be doing touching Truma? That's not possible. But remember, anyone who touches Anida becomes Tameh. So they were worried about people. Here you see that a lot of people would touch the baby, right? And there was a concern that people were touching the baby, and maybe they weren't as concerned right nowadays. People say, stay far away from the baby, don't touch, I don't want germs. But right, if people touch the baby, then they would be Tameh, and they could mess up Truma. So because of that, they wanted to stay away, you know, they wanted to tovel her. So we get it in Eretz Yisrael. Elad Rav Yosef Lamali. But Rav Yosef, I don't get. Bahamar Shmuel, ein tumat chutz laaretz asura, ela b'misha tuma yotza migufo. Tuma chutz laaretz is only forbidden for someone who has tuma coming out of their body. Well, that shouldn't be a problem here. This is tuma coming out of her body. Right? There's a different kind of tuma. You could either come in contact with Anida, then that's not tuma coming out of your body, or you could actually be Anida. Well, she is, but we're going to see in a minute. So that's just the first step. But that's only when it's truma chutz la'aretz and someone has a truma coming out of their body. It's only ba'achila. If they just touch the truma, that doesn't mess up this truma of Eretz Yisrael, because truma of chutz la'aretz doesn't have kedusha like in Eretz Yisrael. So, right nowadays we don't have any truma in Eretz Yisrael, but obviously they did. There were no heidinei truma in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but I'm sorry, in chutz la'aretz, I keep saying it wrong. They were knowing Truma in Chutz La'aretz, even though we're only knowing now in Eretz Yisrael, but they clearly had it at a different level. So if somebody came in contact with Anida and then that person touched Truma, that's not a problem. Or if the Anida herself touched the Truma, that's not a problem either. The only problem is if she eats the Truma. Well, this newborn baby is certainly not eating Truma because newborn babies don't eat food. So there's definitely no concern for that. So that's going to be the problem. Above a Negia, lo, but by touching it, she certainly doesn't make it Tameh. So what's the issue here? Why were they matbil? Why did they put her in the mikvah? Now, interesting, they're not saying we're concerned for when she grows up. In other words, they want to get her out of this. Who's going to remember once she's already older and could? But they don't say that. Amar marzutra lo nitzrucha ela lisocha shemen shel truma. What if they wanted to put oil on her body, right? People put oil on babies' bodies, and the oil could have been from truma. That's an issue. How do we know it's usur lasuch shemen on someone who's tameh? Because it says in the pasuk, okay, there's a different pasuk that says from the kodeshim lo yochal, you can't eat if you call isha sher zav, or right, it goes through the list of the tumot, and it says you can't eat truma. But then there's another pasuk that says belo yichalalu et kodesh bnei Yisrael sheyarimu laHashem. They shouldn't desecrate the kodeshim. So what's this pasuk coming to add, if not to eat? Because eating we already know lerabot et hasach et hashotet, to include anyone who anoints himself with truma or drinks truma. Not just eating. Eating is from the other pasuk. This includes anointing and drinking. So first of all, the Gemara says, Shotel lamali kash, tiyah b'chla l'achila. Don't we say yochal, we mean eating and drinking? So you don't really need a drasha to teach you also drinking. So how do they reread this source? Ela l'rabot et hasach kishote. It's to teach you that the sach is like a shote, is like someone who drinks, which means it's going to be forbidden, and that's the whole issue with the tinoket. That's why they toveled her, because if they wanted to put oil of truma on her, they would need, you know, she would need to be tahora. V'ibay te'ema mehacha, or maybe from the following source, another reason where we would learn that sach is like shote, not necessarily from that drasha, but v'tavo kemayim b'kirbo cheshemen ba'atzmotav. This is a pasuk from Tehillim. And what is it? What do you see here? It's like it comes into him like water that he drinks, or like shemen that gets absorbed, oil that gets absorbed into his bones. So here you see, drinking is compared to, or anointing, shemen is compared to drinking, and you can learn it also from here. And that explains again why the case happened in Pumbedita, in Babel, even though there was only Truma Chutz La'aretz and it wasn't theoretically such an issue. No, it was an issue not for her touching the truma, but it was an issue for her then putting the oil on the baby. Okay. Now, we're back to the benot kutim Nido me'ati satan. We talked about how do we explain? It's a stam girl that we don't know what the situation is. So if that's the case, why wouldn't we say the same thing for Jewish babies? If we don't know, maybe we should assume they're nida unless proven otherwise. So what are they going to say? Ihachi dida nani. So our babies also. So what do we say? No. Anan didarshinan isha vi'isha. Since we have this drasha, which we're going to learn in a minute on the word vi'isha, kichazyan mifar shelehu, logazrabuhu rabbanan. Since we hold by this drasha, again, this is the difference between us and the Shomronim, that they don't hold by all the same drashot that we do. We have a drasha which teaches us that we're going to learn in a minute that even a tinok bat yom echad is part of the laws of nida. So because we have this drasha, the assumption is you can assume if they were to see blood, well, mefarsha lehu, people will separate her out and they'll dunk her in the mikveh after 7 days. And therefore, there's no reason to be gozer to make a gzerah on every stam baby that we don't know. But inhu, but the kutim, to lo darshi isha vi isha, but they don't have that drasha, b'chichaz yal no mefarsha lehu, and therefore, since they would see she has blood and they wouldn't even think anything of it, therefore, gazru b'harabana. And therefore, we have to be concerned that they didn't tovel her in the mikvah. So now, obviously, we have to say, my isha v'isha. What is this drasha? And we're going to get off from here onto all sorts of drashot on the word v'isha that appears in various places. So what's this isha v'isha drasha? Detanya. Isha, okay, first you have to read the pasuk. The pasuk is, v'isha ki tiye zava, dam yezova bibsava. Even though it's using the lashon of zava, this is actually the pasuk about nida. Shiv'at yamim tiye v'nidata. Okay, so it says the word v'isha, okay, in the pasuk about nida. Okay, that a woman becomes a nida, they use the word v'isha. So now we're going to say, what's this v'isha? So why does it say isha and v'isha? So isha, when it says isha, eni ala isha, that sounds like just a grown woman, just like we had the ish by chalitza, only a grown man. Tinoket bat yom echad l'nida minayin. How do we know about a tinoket? Even bat yom echad, tamud lomar v'isha, the vav comes to include a one-day-old. Okay, there we have it. So therefore, we have this drasha, right? Alma, kime rabekha, bat, oh, so 1 second, before we move on. That's why we're not concerned for our stam babies, because we have this drasha, they don't. Okay, so now what's the obvious assumption from here? Alma, kime rabekha, bat yomacha merabe. Sounds like any time we're going to have a vav before the word isha, it's going to include a one-day-old, right? But now we're going to see we have another vav before the word isha in a different context. And it doesn't include a one-year-old, it includes a three-year-old in 1 day, which we talked about before, is the age that it's considered ru'uya libi'ah, she could theoretically have intercourse. So, uriminu, this contradicts the following source. Isha, and liyele isha. Okay, this is a pasuk which talks about, okay, this is a pasuk which says that if a woman and a man sleep together, have sexual relations, then they both become tameh that day. Okay, they're tameh for that day. They both have to go to the mikvah in the morning. Okay, he because of keri, and she because of this pasuk, basically. It's a chidush that she becomes tameh also after having sex. So the pasuk is, I just have to find it for a second. What does Rashi say? V'ish asher yishkav ish ota. Isha asher yishkav ishota, and a woman who a man sleeps with her, shechvat zera, right, with semen, berachatzu b'mayin b'timu ad ha'erev. Okay, so they both have to go in the water, right, they have to go in a mikvah, and they'll be tamei until the evening. That's in Vayikra Tetlav Yudchet. So what do you see here? V'isha, what are they darshin? Okay, here we're going to have it. Tinoket bat, right, isha, en li'el isha. Tinoket bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad l'bi'aminayin. How do we know that she also is going to be included in this? Talmud Lomar v'isha. So in that case, the v'isha comes to teach 3 years, not 1 day old. So now we're a little bit stuck here. Why doesn't arvav mean three years old? So they're going to say, Amarava hilchata ninu v'asmachinu rabbanan akai. It's not that they really learned it from the pasuk. It's that we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai about one of them. One of them is learned out from the verse, and one of them is actually learned out from a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the Gemara says, hey krav, hey hilchata. So which was the one that was learned out from the pasuk, and which was the one that was passed down by this halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Ilem abat yom echad hilchata bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad kha. If we're going to say our halacha about the 1 day old was learned out halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the 3 years is learned out from a pasuk, doesn't make sense to say that, because kras damachtiv. The pasuk doesn't say anything about 3 years. It's just said end. End comes to include, sounds like anything. If you're going to include anything, well then, even a day-old baby. So therefore, they say, Ela bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad hilcheta bat yom echad kha. Okay, so the 3 years is halacha l'moshe Sinai, and the one-day-old is learned out from the pasuk. Okay, that's the conclusion. U'me'achar de'hilcheta kra lamali. Well, now we have a problem. If the 3 years is learned from Allah HaLamosh Misinai, well, then what's the vav doing there? What do we do with that vav in the pasuk about a woman who sleeps with a man, she becomes tameh? What do we do with that? L'mi'uti ishme odem. What do they tell you? It's to tell you, even though this isn't the context of the pasuk, okay, the pasuk does talk about shechatzera, but the point being that if a man sees red semen, okay, he's not going to be tameh. Okay, or red zav, he's not going to be tameh. Okay, if a zav, this discharge comes out of him and it's red, right, blood basically comes out, it's not, he's not tameh. Only the woman's tameh for Odem and he's tameh for Lavan. So v'isha comes to say only an isha, not an ish when it comes to red. Okay. Keep this in mind because we're going to darshan the same thing from another pasuk and then they're going to say, why do we darshan it in two cases? V'ha detanya isha, Ein li ela isha bat asara yamim leziva. Sorry, how am I reading this? Bahatani isha. Okay, so now we're moving to another pasuk. What's this pasuk? This is a pasuk about the zava herself. Okay, when it comes to the zava, well, my Gemara doesn't have these pasukim here. Isha ki azov zov dama yamim rabim. Okay, this is after the beginning of the nida section. It says this is the laws for a nida woman. Then it says, and if she continues to bleed beyond her nida days, yamim rabim, that already means, right, after the 7 days of nida, then she continues to bleed, let's say, on day 8, 9, and 10. If it's yamim rabim, 3 days, what happens? She's called a zava gdola, she needs shivan kim, she brings a korban, all of that. The pasuk then introduces it again, says v'isha. So, what about this braita? It says isha ein li ela isha. Bat asara yamim leziva minayin. How do we know that a 10-day old, now you can't be a zava until you're 10 days old, because it's not possible to be a zava before that. How do we know that she's also going to have to deal with zava? Talmud lamar, v'isha. Again, the v'isha includes, right, even a baby who's just born, and at this point she has to be 10 days old, because otherwise she wouldn't be a zava yet. So, what do they say? Talmud lamar, v'isha. So now we're going to have a problem with that braita. Lamali, ligmar minida. We could have just learned that out from nida. Why? Once she's a nida, we can assume, right, if she was going to be a nida, if she bled the first day, or two, or three, or four, or five, or six, or seven, she's a nida. If she continues to bleed, well, she'll obviously be a zava. So you don't need a special drasha for that. So why was there a special drasha? So now they're going to do the standard tzricha. We need it, because if you had nida, you wouldn't have been able to learn zava. So tzricha, d'ikat avrachmana benida, hava amina, right? The always logic is, well, there's some chumer in nida that isn't in zava. What's the chumer nida that isn't in zava? Hava mina nida mishum dekicha zaychad yoma bai lemeitav shiva. Nida is so chamor that even one day of bleeding makes you a nida for 7 days. Aval zava diicha zaychad yoma. If she only saw blood for 1 day, you're a zava. You don't have to do the whole process. You're already. You go to the mikvah the next day. That's called shomeret yom keneged yom sagela. She's a case where she goes to the mikvah the next morning. She just makes sure that she doesn't bleed that second day at all. And at nighttime, she's already tohoha. So there you see that nidra is more chamor than zava, which means, obviously there's other ways that zava is more chamor because you need 7 clean days, but right now they're showing there's some sort of chumor that nidra that doesn't have by zava, which means maybe only a newborn is going to only have nidra and not necessarily zava, and that's why you need the pasuk by zava. So therefore you might have said, ema lo tzricha. Well, now they say, but you could say the reverse. So why don't you just have the pasuk teach it by zava? Isha ki tiyaz, right? The pasuk isha ki tiyaz ki yazov zov dama yamim rabim below 8 nidita. Right? Should have just said it in the zava pasuk. If zava is less chamor and yet she's tmeah zava when she's born, well then obviously she's going to be tmeah nida. So lifta brachmana b'zava below by benida. They wouldn't have said benida ba'ani yadana, and we would have known. Not only that, forget about it being less chamor, but ain zava below nida. It's very obvious. You can't become a zava unless you've counted nida days, because zava is only when it's not the time of your nida. So you can't even say there's zava without there having been nida before. It doesn't exist zava without nida. So what do they say? In Achinami, you're actually right. They could have just had the v'isha by the zava pasuk. So, Ela Kra Lamali, so why do you have the pasuk, the first one we darshin, the V'isha to teach you one day all by Nida? What's that doing there? You don't really need it. Lemi'ute ishme odem. Again, the same thing that we said before, to say that the man who sees blood isn't a problem, it's not teme. So now they say, wait a minute. But we already said that from a different pasuk. Remember from the Shechat Zerah pasuk from when they have sexual relations, he becomes Tameh, and they said that was not necessary, and therefore we learned already from there. So what do they say? There's two types of ways he could be seeing blood. One could be that his semen was red, and one could be that he had a discharge, like a Zav discharge, that was blood. Okay, and those are two different types of discharges, and therefore there's two separate psukim to teach it, that either one of those that comes out that's red is not going to make him tamei. Okay, now they're going to say, v'chem li'inyan scharim. Now we're going to have the same thing by males that we have by females about the age thing. D'tanya. Ish ish, okay, what's this? Ish ish ki yezav mibsaro, zovo tameihu. This is about the zav. So a man has some sort of discharge, okay, this is a zav discharge. This is relevant even to, okay, why does it say ish ish? L'chabot tinok ben yom achad shehu metame b'ziva divra Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says even a day old that has this discharge is going to be considered a zav. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch omer ein sarich. You don't need the pasuk there because there's a different pasuk. Harei omer la zachar v'la nekeva. We had this a few days ago, this pasuk. It's by Yikra Tevav, pasuk la megimel. It says, v'hadava b'nidata, that means a woman when she's in nida, and hazav et zovo, and the male who's got zav, la zachar v'la nekeva, both for zachar and for nekeva, v'la isha she yishkavim tumea, and a man who sleeps with a woman when she's in nida. All this is talking about those kind of tumas. So what do you see here? La zachar v'la nekeva. What do you learn from that? La zachar kol shehu. It means, la zachar, any age he is, even a newborn. So therefore, you don't need the ish ish to teach you that, you have it from here. Koshu zachar, ben shu gadol, ben shu katan. Vila nekeva, also for the nekeva. Koshu nekeva, ben gdola, ben ktana. Im kem matam lomer ish ish, according to Rabbi Shmuel, b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan b'broka, you don't need the ish ish to tell you that, so why did it say ish ish? What's the extra ish for? Tibrat Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam, we've seen that many times. Don't, ish ish is just the way people speak, and the Torah speaks in the regular language people speak in, right? This is a big debate. Is the Torah have a unique style and you can't just say Dibrat Torah L'shom B'nei Adam? Or can you say that and therefore he doesn't think we learn that? Alma ki merabe kha ben yom acha merabe. So what do you see here? Again, we're going to have the same. This is the mirror sugya to what we saw before. According to this, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, when it says ish ish, it's teaching you to include, or even the second drasha, la zachar, is to include anyone, even a day old. But in Raminhu, this contradicts another source. Ish, and liela ish. Bein tesha shanim v'yom achad minayin, Talmud lamar, v'ish. Okay, what's this? This is by Tumat Keri. Ish ash ki teitzeh mimenu shechvat zera. It says, right, sorry, I don't think I read it right. V'ish. Okay, there again, right? It's like the v'isha, v'ish. Okay, keep darshaning all these vavs. It says a man who has some semen come out, right? What do we say? He's tamei tuma keri. So now it says vi'ish. So what do they say? Sorry, I lost my place. Ish en li'ala ish bein tesha shanim v'yom achad minayim. When does tuma keri kick in? Right? We said girls are ruya to be out from age 3 in a day. Males only from age 9 in a day. So bein tesha shanim v'yom achad. How do we know I'll have tuma keri at that point? Tamalomar vi'ish. So what do you see? Before we said ish ish includes even a day old, or lazachar includes even a day old, and in this pasuk the v'ish includes 9 years old. That's a big difference, right? It's the same as our 3 years and one day old. So what are they going to say? Same answer as before. Amarava hilchetaninu vasmachinu rabanan akai. It's really a halacha l'moshe Sinai, one of them, and they just connected it to the pasuk. So now again, hey hilchetav v'hei kra, they're going to say the same thing. Which is the halacha, and which is actually learned out from the pasuk? If you're going to say the day old is the halacha l'moshe Sinai, uben tesha shanim v'yom achad is the kra, is the pasuk, kra stamaktiv. The kra just says it's stam, v'ish, and should include anything even from a day old. It doesn't say any specifics there about 9 years old. Ela, so therefore, must be ben tesha shanim v'yom achad hilchata, uben yom achad kra. It must be the 9 year is the halacha l'moshe Sinai, and the one day is the pasuk. V'chi me'achar de'hilchata hi. So if it's halacha l'moshe Sinai, lamali lim'ute. So now, hilchatahi, kra lamali. what do we need? The Ve'ish, right? The whole thing was Ve'ish, comes to include 9-year-old also has Tumah Keri. But if we just said it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, we don't need a Pasuk. Okay, I didn't really say this, but we've talked about it before. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is something kind of in between a Deoraita and a Derabanan. It's a tradition, and it's not based on any derivation from any Pasuk, and it's just a known fact, something that's been passed down for generations. So you don't need a Pasuk to teach that, so what's this Ve'ish coming to teach you, if not that? So what did they say? It's the opposite, really the mirror of the previous sugga. L'mi'ute ishami loben, to say if a woman sees something clear, she's right, she has a clear discharge, she's not going to be tme'ah. So now they say, v'lamali l'michta bizcharim, v'lamali l'michta b'nikevot. Why do you need this to tell you, both in the zcharim and in the nikevot? Okay, now they're asking specifically about to include the newborns, okay? Why a newborn? Once you have it in Nida, you would say also in Zav, or once you have it in Zav, also in Nida. Why do you need both? To say, right, this drashav, the ish-ish and the vi-isha, to teach you even when they're just born. So, tzrichei, d'i katav rachmana bizcharim, mishum dimitami b'riyot kevi'amim. Okay, there's some chumra by Zav that doesn't exist by Anita, what's that? Or by a Zava, really, which is, because remember, the pasuk in the end that we learned out was the Zava pasuk. And then we said from there we can learn Nida because there isn't Zava without Nida. So now there's a big difference between Zav and Zava. What's the difference? Both need three. The three is the magic number if you have three, but three what? For the woman, it has to be 3 days. For a man, it has to be 3 discharges. They can all be in 1 day. That's a chumra, because if a woman has 3 discharges in 1 day of zava, that's only considered 1 day. But a man, 3 re'iyot, okay, that's what it means, mitamu bi re'iyot kiviyamin. They are mitame 3 re'iyot, the way a woman's mitame in days. Avan kevot, lo mitamu bi re'iyot kiviyamin, emalo. If you just had it by the men, you might say, well, there's some chumra by the men in zav, maybe because of that, they're machmir even at birth. The ikat av rachmana bin kevot, there's some chumra bin kevot that isn't bischarim. What's that? Mishum de kamatamu ba'ones. Aval scharim de lo matamu ba'ones, ema lo tzricha. What's this matamu ba'ones? If something happens, some external factors that cause the discharge to happen, like we saw with the woman, if she jumps or something happens, right? Charada, fear causes it. If that causes her to bleed, she's going to be tameh. But if that causes a zav discharge, what a zav discharge really is, it's from some sickness that the man has, but not like it's not exactly a sickness, because if you're actually sick and you have a zav discharge, it's also not. It's like some particular type of discharge the zav is, and it's not if it comes from some external or some disease or something. It's not from them. Okay, it's different. So you're not metame ba'ones, and therefore you would have thought maybe the woman, yes, from day one, and not the man. Therefore, tzricha, you needed it in both places. Okay, now we're getting back to, we finished now with the line. That was all about the line, right? 4 words, b'no kutim nido meri satan. Took us an entire daf. Now we're going to just start the section about hakutim mitam'im mishkav tachton ke'elyon. My mishkav tachton ke'elyon. What does it mean, mishkav tachton ke'elyon? Ile madachi ika asara matzaot v'yatev alayhu mitam elahu. Okay, what is this? This is a case where, okay, this is famous by Zav. It always thinks of the princess and the pea, where, right, there's all the mattresses and there's a little pea at the bottom, right? That's always where they remember this. If there's something underneath these 10 mattresses, he's still metame, because that's still considered mishkav, okay? He's lying on something, and that something is lying on something else, and, right, in the end, he's really lying on that one little pea at the bottom. So, if you want to say that when it means mishkav tachton ke'elyon, it means something at the bottom of the mattresses, just like if it was at the top of the mattresses, that pshita, that's obvious, to hadaris lehu, because that's what tumat midras is. That's right, stepping or sitting or moshav, that's what it means. So it can't be telling you that. Ela shehe tachtono shel bo'el nida ke'elyono shel zav. That the tachton of a bo'el nida, something underneath him, whether it's underneath 10 mattresses or whether it's right below him, whatever it is, if he sleeps with a woman who's in Nida and gets her tumah, and he lies on something, it's like the Elyon of Zav. It's not like a Tachton of Zav or a Tachton of Anida. That's what I said we started this year. I already explained this when we read the Mishnah, which is it's like if a Zav carries something on a tray, where if he moves it, right, it's going to have a tumah of a Rishon but not an Av. Whereas a Zav, the Tachton of a Zav is an Avatumah. It becomes, Mamash and Av can be Matame people. But the Elyon isn't Metame people. Ma Elyono Shel Zav Eino Metame Ela Ochlin U'Mashkin, just like something he carries on a tray, he's carrying a teacup. So that teacup can only be Metame, food and drink. Likewise, Av Tachtono Shel Bo'el Nida Eino Metame Ela Ochlin U'Mashkin. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and then we're going to learn where we get Elyono Shel Zav, etc.